All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David.
Oh, my gosh.
It is so good to see you.
It's amazing to see you because the big news this week has nothing to do with movies.
What's that?
It has everything to do with us being back together in person.
What?
For live recording of the show.
What?
Can you believe? All this time I've been recording my part, sending it to you,
right,
and then a week later,
right,
you send your half back.
I've been recording mine on cassettes.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got to pay somebody to transform them, whole nine yards.
It's a pain.
But I just want to tell you, I really appreciate, I'm sorry that I didn't do the same, but I really appreciate you getting dressed up coat and tie for the show.
No problem.
You know?
Well, I had to go out and get my long tail.
Right.
It's the tux, but right, you know, whatever.
What's the line? There's a line from Dinner Cruise. If there's no dinner jacket, is it really dinner?
Ooh, that's true.
Right.
And that's one thing I forgot to mention, that we are podcasting over a gourmet meal.
Right. So if you hear slurping and chomping, you know.
Look, the best part about coming to this,
yeah,
doesn't have anything to do with you.
Oh.
It doesn't have anything to do with this podcast.
What?
It's getting to pet Hannah the dog.
Oh, Hannah the dog.
Yeah, she's all over. You were doing some stuff, and yep, I was like, what's yep up? And she was just the sweetest little, hey, how you doing?
You want to talk about what I was doing?
Getting her mics.
Because we are recording off-site.
Yeah.
And so I got all our stuff and came to the recording location.
Secret dinner place.
A.K.A. my house. And I forgot the mics because we don't store them where we store the bag. But what I think is funny about this story is that you thought to remind me that the mics were not in the big bag that I was fetching.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you, like, what part of my track record with you made you think, oh, for sure, he'll remember that the mics are outside of the bag.
Well, here's what went through my head. And it was, I had already said, you'll need the mic, the stand, and the bag. And then I was like, well, should I say that the mic's not in the same place? And I was like, well, I already said three separate things, so let's not act like he can't handle this.
Right.
I don't want to baby him.
Right. Which I wish you would have. It would have saved me a second trip. But in fairness, I did open the big bag and glanced in and saw a mic.
Right, not the right mic.
Not the correct one. So if you had said, get the correct mic, see?
That's the key to the whole scenario.
Yeah, I knew I could turn this around and have it be your fault that clearly I forgot the mic. So good. Man. So good to be back.
I know. Now we can rag on each other in person.
In person.
I know. In your
genius
house. Oh,
genius.
My gosh.
All right.
You ready to get to this news?
Please. Yeah, we got some news and we got some good trailers and some good notes.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm psyched to doing this. It's going to be a good show.
Life changing. you pointed out something after the show last week that rocked my world.
Yeah.
You said, we've recorded more satellite episodes than we recorded in person.
Yeah.
And that shook me to the core.
Yeah.
I cried for about 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then I got over it and said, Penn, who? I don't care about him anymore.
Yeah, so this is 132 episodes. And we started going remotely.
At like 60-something.
At like 60-something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we had well over a year where we got together in person and recorded every single week. And then COVID came and off we went.
And we still never missed a week.
And we still never missed a week.
We're so champs.
We are champs. All right,
so real time, big time news. Let's start off with the good one here. Maybe the best one. Remember the movie Cowboys and Aliens?
I've been, for the last 5 years, trying to forget the movie Cowboys and Aliens.
The international flop.
Right.
Well, good news. The rights have reversed back to the creator.
Okay.
And he's like, good news, everybody. now that I have these rights, I'm working on making a new boot. Right. And I can't have anything to do with the old one, but we'll go back to the source material.
What was the source material?
I guess it was a comic.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how closely they followed each other.
Yeah.
I don't care how closely they followed each other. Yeah. I just don't know. I can't. Who wants this?
Not me.
Podcast at PennCinema.com if this is something you want.
Okay, and I'll take it to another level. Podcast at PennCinema.com if you watched Cowboys and Aliens and thought it was good. I'm not even saying it has to be your favorite movie. I'm just saying if you liked it.
If you didn't think it was horrible.
Wasn't Daniel Craig in that?
Yeah.
So whenever we're playing the game of like, oh, so-and-so can make no bad movies.
Don't forget Cowboys and Aliens.
Right, don't forget Cowboys and Aliens. That was, I think... It was one of my biggest disappointments.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember seeing the trailer for it and being like, what?
Yeah.
Why? And then it happened. And then apparently everyone else was also like, what? Why?
Right. Have you ever heard of a studio called Funimation?
I have.
And have you ever heard of a huge, massive hit called Demon Slayer?
I think we even... Did we review it for the show?
I think we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember there was a lot of...
And a lot of crying when one guy died.
There was a lot of really, really intense crying. Yeah. Not like, you know, sobbing, like whatever. I don't have the vocabulary. Maybe Frodo can help us out. But like, what do you call it when you're like sobbing hysterically and then you sobbing hysterically violently? That's what we're looking for.
Violently.
A word that captures sobbing and hysterical and violent all in one.
Yeah.
And that's what I remember about Demon Slayer. Well, anyway... the studio behind the massive hit, the global phenomenon of Demon Slayer.
Right.
Sidebar. Isn't it interesting? Like, you go out and stop 10 people on the street. None of them heard. Maybe one of them heard of Demon Slayer.
Yeah.
And yet, as you know, it was a massive, huge. I mean, it was a huge hit. So where the hell are all those people?
In their mom's basement.
Podcast at PennCinema.com.
My name is David. Feel free to hate.
Right. So Funimation is set to release another animated crying movie called Knights of Sidonia, Love Woven in the Starth.
Animated crying. Oh, perfect. Yeah. Mm. So Knights of Sidonia, Love Woven in the Stars is the name of this. Mm. Now, here's the crazy thing. This is a show that ran for 2 seasons on Netflix.
Okay.
And then Funimation just recently got the rights to air on their platform. And so they're like, all right, well, we're making the movie and we're putting it out. And the movie ends the series, supposedly. So I know nothing about it other than looks like people driving mech suits, like, you know, big man suits and maybe monsters, I guess.
Mech, like mechanical?
Yeah.
Yeah, mech suits.
Like a mech suit is like Power Rangers.
Like Transformers.
Yeah. Well, no, because they're robots.
Oh, because they're actual, right.
If there was a human driving them, that would be a mech suit.
Like in Avatar.
Yes.
Yeah. They're driving the mech suits.
Right.
I'm going to add that to my vocabulary. Mm.
Aren't you glad I came here today?
Yes. Every single time I do the show, I add something to my vocabulary. Yeah,
behind him, there's a big whiteboard.
Right.
He writes it down, and he writes the definition.
Right.
So Alicia Vikander.
Vikander?
Vikander. She says the new Tomb Raider movie is not dead. Don't worry, Penn.
Wait, that'd be a great title for the movie. Tomb Raider. Movie is not dead.
Don't worry, Ben.
Okay.
It's still in its infancy. I know that a year and a half ago I was
worried.
There's a new Tomb Raider movie and we haven't heard anything.
Right.
She says they're still writing it. You know, COVID pushed the whole thing back a year, at least. So what does that mean? I guess maybe Tomb Raider. Didn't they make 2?
I thought they made 2.
Was there 2 with her or just 1 with her?
I don't know. Is she going to be in this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she's Tomb Raider. She's Lara Croft.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They made 2. They made 3 games with a character with a Lara Croft that looks like her. Hmm. And I can't remember if they made more than 1 movie or not.
Yeah.
So
I think this falls in the category of like, okay,
Is it real? Is it not real? Who knows? Who cares?
Yeah.
I think the games are amazing in a cinematic like feat on their own.
You know what this always reminds me of? It reminds me of, what was that movie? Was it Wanted with Angelina Jolie?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where she was like amazing. I mean, that's such a good, like, she is such a good action star. And she was amazing in Wanted. And of course, she was amazing in Salt.
Yeah.
She was great in Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And to me, this seems like it should, she should be even, this should be like perfection for her. And yet the movie itself was so like lame. I felt like it was beneath her. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. It wasn't a well-made movie, which is surprising
for her.
How well, yeah. Well, yeah. How well the game has done.
But yeah. So I have two movies. I have,
you're looking at the wrong Tomb Raider.
Oh,
if you're still talking about Angelina Jolie.
Yes.
Okay. Alicia Vikander is the new Tomb Raider. Cause those are from like the '90s.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway.
Aren't you glad I stopped you before you went down too far? I was like, wait a second. What are we talking about here? He's now talking about Angelina Jolie.
Speaking of Angelina Jolie.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Taika Waititi, Flash Gordon movie is now live action.
How much do you love Flash Gordon?
On a scale of 1 to 10?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can I pick NA? Like, Flash Gordon is not on my radar.
Exactly. Same. So does this make any difference for you if they were to, like, they're making a Flash Gordon animated movie and then they turned around and said, no, Penn, wait, this is live action. Does that make any difference to you?
Yes, it does. It makes a huge difference. No, I'm serious. It makes a huge difference to me because if you tell me you're making a Flash Gordon animated movie, I'm thinking kids.
Right.
If you tell me you're making a Flash Gordon live action movie, I'm thinking Marvel, DC, you know, superhero PG-13. Like, maybe I need to, like, think about getting excited. And didn't we see Flash Gordon in Justice League? Or do I have my worlds mixed up?
You might have your worlds mixed up on that.
Where is he?
I think he's his own thing. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he's
who's the real... I'm thinking of Flash.
The Flash,
yeah. I'm thinking of Flash. okay, so, wait a minute. That's an easy mistake. Flash and Flash Gordon.
It was so easy. When my mind went there, I was like, nah. This is not the mistake he's making here.
Yeah. So, okay. So they're going to, you know, and if Taika Waititi, if he's behind it and it's going to be live action, now I'm on board. I'm interested. I'm like, okay. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah. I have no interest in a Flash Gordon movie except for the fact that Taika Waititi is making it.
What's the background of Flash Gordon? Is he a superhero?
Sort of. He's pop fiction, like 50s, 60s type of like man with a rocket on his back.
Mm. Okay.
He-Man type era.
Okay.
Stuff. Yeah. I don't know a whole lot about him.
It would be fun, and I don't know what content is out there, what source material exists, but it would be fun to take somebody who's independent, who's not DC or Marvel, and have them like cross paths. What do they call that on TV when the two shows?
A crossover.
Yeah, it's a crossover. Yeah. It'd be cool to have like Flash Gordon like working on his rocket and like call up Tony Stark's dad for like plans on, you know, how do I get the rocket off once I'm, you know, and how do I safely land, and have him like interfacing with Mr. Stark. And then while they're interfacing with Mr. Stark, here comes Tony Stark, the little snot-nosed teenage kid, maybe he's younger than teen, maybe he's like 11,
gross,
but he's super precocious,
yeah,
you know, and he's in there and he's like, try moving the wiggle raggle to the left. That'll work, you know.
Wiggle raggle.
Yeah, the wiggle raggle every time with that, yeah, you know. So, but I mean, come on.
Yeah. They do that stuff in the comics all the time.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
And what would make it, like, here's the gold ring. What would make it perfect for me would be if they didn't even advertise it.
And it just happened.
It just happened. Not an Easter egg that, like, only the cool kids can spot. Because I'm never one of the cool kids.
Like a blatant, like, pause, hey, Tony Stark's dad.
Look, this is Iron Man, is Tony Stark, right? And Tony Stark's dad is this guy, right? Like, yeah. Somehow really spell it out, you know, to the audience.
Make it very obvious, right. Yeah.
And really, they would get bonus points if they could find a way, without saying Iron Man,
if they could find a way to use the word iron and use the word man in the sentence while they're... So, Tony, I'm running out of iron, and man, I don't know where I'm going to find it for the wriggle raggle. You know, because, you know, I think you're really onto something with moving that wriggle raggle, but the iron, man, it's hard to find.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be cool? That, come on. That'd be fun as hell. That,
I think you're on to like a whole new style of movie.
How am I not already making movies?
I don't know. I honestly, with ideas like this. Right.
It's, all day, David. It's, all day.
Every day. Wiggle raggle this, wiggle raggle that. Back and forth.
So true. So true.
So
this was the biggest news of the week.
Yeah. Do you know who's not down with the wiggle raggle?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
I think this is a great story.
Huge.
It's huge. Some people, like, it's going to be interesting to go down. So Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney over Black Widow because she says that the dual VOD and theatrical release meant that she made less money. Specifically, she says she thinks she would have made at least $50 million more. Mm. And so she's saying that this is bad because her contract, it's a breach of contract because her contract says that she will make X amount of money of the theatrical release. So right. For those who aren't aware, sometimes when a star becomes big enough or even better when they're smaller, the deals that they make have a lot more to do with a percentage of what the movie earns rather than how much they make up front.
Like they'll so take instead of making $2 million flat up front, which would be great,
yeah,
you're making 12% of the global release.
Right, and your movie might flop and you don't only get $50,000.
Right.
Your movie might make it, you get $50
million.
Right. You know, it's a real...
Right.
It's a gamble.
The upside is better.
Right, yeah. So in this situation, it was almost a guarantee that she was going to make bank. So why not go on that? But they breached the contract by not giving it the theatrical window that we've talked about over and over again. I think that's great that she's doing this because there's two things here. One, her tenure with Marvel is pretty much, I mean, it wasn't like it was a closed door, but she's pretty much at the end.
Well, she is now.
Well, yeah, she is now. But so in one point, she doesn't have a whole lot to lose.
Right.
Right? It's not like, oh, my character was going to keep going. They've already killed her off. So there's that aspect that she can take this risk. And then there's the other side of someone needs to do this or it's just going to get worse.
Right.
And worse and worse. And then Disney came back. And what they had to say, it was funny because all I kept seeing online was people saying, well, guess she'll never work for Marvel again. And it's like, have you seen the movies? Like, she's done. Like, it's over. Like, other than guest appearances. Like
her brother killed her.
Yeah, her brother killed her. Yeah, so it's... It's like they didn't watch the movies because then Disney responded and Disney said, well, I can't believe that she's coming at us and not being sensitive to the current world environment with COVID. She should be happy with the $20 million she already made because there's potential for her to make more as the movie continues.
Right.
And they basically, what they were doing was, because Scarlett Johansson's lawyers came back and they were like, if you look at this and you actually take apart what they're saying, they're not defending the contract breach. What they're doing is telling everyone Scarlett Johansson's being greedy. That's character defamation.
Right.
And it's not actually defending what it's about. And right. It's trying to get like all the articles to write about how she's being greedy. When she's not being greedy, she just wants what she and everyone else who's involved in these things
right.
are entitled to. And a contract is a contract and you should be these party should be held to them. It's not like she's saying, I wanted this money and I, you know, I see that you made it and I want it now. It's no, I was supposed to make this money. And because of the decisions you made against my contract, I'm not going to make it anymore.
Right.
So I've over explained this, but really it's really fascinating to watch what's going on here. It's the big news. I think it's great news that it's happening. It's not going to be an easy battle. Disney is like the big king on the hill. How do you take them down? But if you can just chip away, if she does it, and then again, somebody else does it, maybe you'll start to make some headway.
I think, so I don't think you over-explained it. I think you explained it perfectly. And I think it's worthy of a deep dive. I don't think it matters that, like, I'm not looking at this as, like, if she
you know, pushes back, and then maybe the next person pushes back, and then maybe the next person pushes back. But I mean, that's all true. I don't disagree with that. But I think the real lesson here that I'm excited about is that she is documenting for mainstream America and also for filmmakers. She is, the whole premise of her thing is movies make more money in a theatrical release than they do online.
Yeah.
And now you as a studio may have perfectly valid reasons for wanting to put a movie out online, AKA, or that's not the right word. In other words, you're fighting the streaming wars and you need to spend whatever you need to spend to stay in the fight until, you know, last man standing, last two or three people standing. So that's fine. Like, whatever. I'm not getting into whether or not movies should be available online. But what I'm glad is that I feel like this lawsuit, this headline, keeps the focus on the fact, what you and I have said on this show a million times, which is movies make more money in a theatrical release than they do streaming, period. Not that there's sometimes good reasons to stream. That's fine. I'm not arguing that. But what I'm saying is, if you're a young filmmaker or even an established filmmaker and you want your movie to make the most possible money, and the first lesson I ever learned in the exhibition industry is that all studios are whores. And if we're just trying to make money, which I don't fault anybody with, that's what I'm trying to do. I want to make money.
Yeah.
What we're all trying to do is make money. And the best way to make money is for a movie to be in a theatrical release, period.
Period.
And I think that this lawsuit brings a really good attention to that statement, to that fact, so that not only will other people fight this fight, but also other filmmakers will wise up to, like, hey, when I'm looking for a distributor, when I'm marketing my movie and I'm considering going with Sony or Universal or Warner Brothers or Disney, when I'm going to one of those studios and I'm looking for somebody to distribute my film, if I want the biggest theatrical release possible, I'm going to want in my contract, I'm going to address the streaming issue. And then when I'm a filmmaker, when I'm trying to get stars, so the next people who want to hire Scarlett Johansson to be in their movie, you bet your ass there's going to be language in the contract that says we will not hire a distributor who will have a VOD release. You know,
right.
So I think this headline in general sends a great message to all of Hollywood and the press. I mean, this was reported on CNN. This was reported on NBC. This is a very mainstream article. And I think it sends a great message. I've spoken on the show many times about the personal value, the personal worth, the emotional worth, the experiential worth of movie going in a movie theater. And then what this story does is also underscores the fact that, yeah, there's a lot of really good reasons to see a movie in a theater, but also the economics are better for movies and theaters, period. So I'm excited about that. My phone blew up when this broke, and my favorite comment was from our GM in Huntington Valley, Brad. What up, Brad? Who wrote in and was like, "Where do I contribute to her legal defense fund?" Not that she needs our money, but like, and more than one person said, like, you know, where do I send my $10 to support this, yeah, this lawsuit? So, yeah. So this was easily the biggest news of the week, maybe the biggest news of the summer.
Mm.
Maybe. I mean, this is a huge milestone moment in the streaming wars.
Yeah. I want to take note of something that I noticed immediately after this. I don't know if there was a change, but it's something I noticed after all the Shang-Chi and was it Secret or Legends of the Ten Rings or whatever it is.
And Eternals.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about Eternals,
but okay.
I know for sure Shang-Chi doesn't say, it says theatrical release. It doesn't say
interesting
Disney Premium,
yeah,
or anything.
Interesting.
So,
okay, let's bring it down a notch.
Okay.
Back to Earth, back to reality.
Okay. Yennefer Molina, an actress that I'm not familiar with, has been cast as Gargantos 2 in Doctor Strange. Now, I don't know who Yennefer is. I barely know who this character is just because I got a synopsis for this. But apparently, Gargantos 2 is a squid monster that's usually associated with the Submariner, which means there's potential that we could see at least a cameo of the Submariner in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Potential. Which is cool, because Submariner usually means Fantastic Four, and everyone's been waiting for Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
So.
When is Doctor Strange due?
That Christmas, I think.
That this year.
Let me look it up. But do you know who the Yennefer is?
I do not know who Yennefer Molina is. I do not know who Gargantos 2 is. I love that... You know what I love about my life?
What's that?
I love that I have a reason to be discussing squid monsters. Very few of my friends go through their work day and use the phrase squid monsters.
March 25th, 2022.
All right. So here's what I took away from this headline.
Yeah.
And we've seen stuff like this on the show before. I don't care about this headline, but I love the fact that we had the headline and it reminds me that Doctor Strange comes out in March.
That's 100% what it's there for.
Yeah, that's 100% what it's there for. And it worked because I was like, oh, yeah, Dr. Strange, that's going to be awesome.
So we got Shang-Chi and Eternals yet this year. And then I think Dr. Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's going to be awesome. Speaking of Hawkeye.
Oh.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, November 24th.
That's when the show comes out.
That's what a Christmas, what show?
The Hawkeye show.
Oh. That's, oh,
so Black Widow.
Yep.
Ended.
Yep.
With a teaser that's going to be resolved in the Hawkeye show.
Sick.
How cool is that? I love how these things are just weaving.
Oh, it's so good.
So together. So.
All right. Tiffany Haddish and Lakeith Stanfield are now in. Let's not just gloss over that though. The Black Widow, Hawkeye thing. That's huge, and that's what you and I pointed out a couple years ago about the advantage of Disney Plus is keeping that fan base engaged and having people excited, and you know because so it's like a chicken and egg. Does Black Widow support Hawkeye? Or does Loki support Black Widow? You know, right, like all the, but I think the answer is both. I think it's a pretty much a two-way street.
And we are getting to a point where it's almost a little scary now because there's people that I talk to that like this stuff that are like, I don't really want to watch the show, right? And now like everyone's like, you got to watch the show or you're not going to know what's going to happen, what's happening in the movies. Like it's not going to make sense. And now they've waited and it's starting to pile up and it's like, oh no, there's so much of it to watch. I don't know if I will. Yeah. But I'll tell you, everyone I've talked to like that was like that, that they went back and watched it, didn't regret it. Mm. So, but it's just, I'm afraid that we might get to a point where people are just like, I never did and I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And then you kind of alienate part of your fan base, but we'll see what happens.
Huh. That's an interesting problem. I mean, it's a fresh problem. I don't remember having seen anything like this before.
I think Doctor Strange will be the real test because that's the one that's going to involve WandaVision and Loki in it. And like for the most, it's going to be really, it'll be interesting to see how much you really will have needed to see if it shows. So
I remember when I watched Black Widow. I apologize to my friends, but I forget which one of you I watched Black Widow with. But at the end of Black Widow, we were kind of like, man, what? How does that? Where does this? Like, we had some Marvel-related questions. And I remember I said to him, like, well, this is why you got to watch movies with David. You know, he spells that shit out. He stands in the lobby and he'll walk you right through it, you know. All right, moving on. Tiffany Haddish and Lakeith Stanfield are now in talks to star in Disney's Haunted Mansion movie.
Yeah. Tiffany Haddish is in like everything these days.
She showed up in a trailer for something, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, we think it was something we reviewed last week.
Yeah.
The card one. Was it card? The card carrier or the card counter? The
card counter,
Yeah. She was in that movie.
What do we know about Lakeith Stanfield and what do we know about a Haunted Mansion movie?
Well, we talked about the Haunted Mansion movie at least once before and how they were just making another movie based off a ride. I don't know if I care so much about that because, you know, look at Jungle Cruise. You told me that's fun, right?
Yeah.
And so why can't they do this.
They totally can. And you don't even have to look at Jungle Cruise. Look at Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, true. So Lakeith Stanford was in Sorry to Bother You, Judas and the Black Messiah, Atlanta. So he's in a lot of things, a lot of really high praise things. Like, I've never seen Sorry to Bother You, but I hear it's fantastic. Judas and the Black Messiah was up for Oscars, wasn't it? So
I kind of feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like Tiffany Haddish is quietly establishing herself as one of the top actors in America.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like her involvement in a movie, to me, automatically tells me it's a good project.
It's funny, though, because at the same time, it seems like her roles are, like, people are realizing that, and her roles are getting so in some ways smaller.
Huh.
Like they're like, oh, well, if Tiffany Haddish is, you know, it's going to be a good movie, but so we need to put her in here so she's only this, like, background character. It's kind of like the reverse, like, some actors go through, they're just the background characters and they become the stars, mm-hmm. and then they start to become kind of like the, like, super cameo characters. Mm. And I think she's kind of starting to phase into that a little bit.
Well, you might be right, but I also would choose to see that as just like she's picking good roles and they don't all have to be starring, you know, above the fold, starring Tiffany Haddish role. Now, this one, Disney's Haunted Mansion, that has franchise written all over it.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe she's smart to pick it and co-star with, you know, a talented actor like Lakeith Stanfield, you know, and if the two of them can headline this movie and take it in to be a first tier franchise, then that just.
And they're both capable of doing serious and funny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like I said, I haven't seen Lakeith's movies, but I know that there's serious roles and comedic roles that he's done. So.
Cool. Did we ever talk about the fact that I ended up watching Bad Trip?
No, I don't think we did.
Do you remember the movie?
No.
She stars in it, and the whole movie is they do like filmed with like actual public. Like they do the remember we talked about the trailer?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's all like pranks.
Yeah.
You know, but they put the pranks together in a way that makes a plot.
Yeah.
You know, and they involve people who don't know they're on camera and all that kind of stuff. And it was a dumb movie, but it was hilarious and you loved watching it and she was amazing in it. So I'm automatically with Tiffany and Lakeith headlining. I'm already that's all I need to know to be on board for Haunted Mansion.
Nice. All right. So I got the last bit of news here today.
This is big. This is different. This is big because it's different.
Yeah. So James Gunn revealed that fans will need to watch the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which I believe is a Disney Plus thing, in order to, quote, learn stuff you need to learn for Volume 3. He said, it's in canon, it's about the Guardians, you're going to want to learn stuff that you need to learn before Volume 3, and it's great. I'm really happy with it. So we were just talking about how these things are interweaving.
Yeah, this is next level.
And this is like, now the director's like, yo, not only do you need to watch the shows, this 1 hour special, that you would probably throw it away because it says holiday special
right,
on it.
Right.
You're going to need to watch this thing.
Yeah.
So.
It's really funny that you would point that out because I was going to make the same comment. Like, it's weird that they would label it holiday special.
Yeah.
That's unlike Disney. It's unlike the Guardians.
Well, I think it's because it's only one. Like, it's, I don't know if it's an hour and a half. Like, it's just one thing.
But name it something else and release it on December 23rd. Like, whatever, it can be around the holidays. But to actually call it a holiday special, like, I'll be really curious to see if there's anything about this show that sheds light on why they would choose to refer to it as Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's unusual.
Well, he harkens back the Guardians movies definitely harken back to the 80s. Hardcore, right. Early 90s, right. Like with the volume and the music. I could see something happening and Star-Lord being like, whoa, this is like a holiday special.
Yeah.
You know, because maybe it's not Christmas, but it's some holiday.
Okay. So,
all right, you ready to do trailers?
Oh my God. I thought you would never ask.
I know. Here I am. I came for trailers.
This is an interesting week.
I feel like there's a clear trailer of the week.
For me. But then you added one at the last minute that I think you're pretty excited
that's
about.
That's my trailer.
Oh, that's your trailer of the week.
Yeah, otherwise it would be the one that you're... Yes, yeah. That's my second. All right, let's start off with one that's definitely not the trailer of the week. And we spoke about it earlier today.
Does it involve violent, hysterical sobbing? And Frodo, if I could ask you to include one more word, it needs to be sobbing, hysterical, violent, and sustained. Right? I mean, it definitely
doesn't
like,
stop.
Right. It goes on like a solid, you know, right?
So this is Knights of Cydonia, Love Woven in the Stars.
Oh my God. Such a bad title. You know what this is? This is the name of one of Barry Manilow's albums in the 70s. It's a lesser known album. A lot of people don't know that it came out.
You remember the Knights of Cydonia album?
Right, Love Woven in the Stars. You don't remember that track?
One of the best.
Oh, so good. Yeah.
Play it backwards, you know? Right.
Play it backwards, it'll make you cry hysterically, violently, sustained.
This trailer is a mess.
Indeed.
It's a lot of color, and it's a lot of screaming in Japanese, and robots, and kind of monsters. Like,
I didn't watch very much of it.
Yeah, like a kind of a penis-looking guy. I was like, I don't think I'm into this.
Yeah. I'm
so,
good.
Moving on.
The next trailer is, what was the guy's name? Todd Phillips? It's not Todd Phillips.
Steve?
Somebody else that we've never heard of named Mad God. And I don't know, this trailer looked like okay. Not necessarily a bad trailer, but
This looks like something I want to know more about.
Mm-hmm.
It also looks like a living nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the point. It's stop motion animation. It's really grotesque and ugly looking things. But then they go on to say he makes every character like memorable and this and that. Guillermo del Toro's talking about stuff.
Guillermo Barbero.
I mean, it looks fascinating from a technical standpoint.
Right.
I don't necessarily want to watch it or even the trailer again.
The interesting thing about this movie, this is what I took away from the trailer. I just want to pull up. The guy's name is Phil Tippett.
Of course it is.
Podcast at PennCinema.com. If you knew Phil Tippett before we mentioned, like...
Encyclopedia Brown.
No. All right.
Pirate Dave will be on that.
No, I want to ask them. Yeah, really?
Do you guys really know who this guy is?
There's no way.
You don't think?
No. I mean, honor system, guys. Honor system. Write us in if you knew who Phil Tippett was without us telling you.
With a picture of you doing the Scouts. Scouts honor.
Anyway, with all that being said, like, I guarantee Phil Tippett never heard of Penn Ketchum.
And that's the crazy part.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from him. Here's what I came away from this thing with, because it says Phil, the name of the movie is Phil Tippett's Mad God. And then it goes on to say from the Academy Award winner behind Star Wars and Jurassic Park. So in other words, he got an Academy Award for some of his technical work. You know those awards that they give away like the week before the real Academy Awards, and then they show like a little clip.
The night before the Ramada Inn.
Right, and they got like some like semi B-list actor, you know, who got an Academy Award like 6 years ago to like host this thing, you know. So, okay, but again, I'm not taking anything away because he's gotten way more Academy Awards than me. Like twice as many.
Not by many.
But anyway, it goes on to say what he's done. And then there's some character references. Kathleen Kennedy is quoted as saying, you know, he brings amazing characters to all his character or something like that. And then Guillermo Barbero is quoted as saying he brings in intense passion. He's a master.
Right.
All this. So when the second character reference came across the screen, I thought to myself, this is not a trailer. This is a reference. This is a resume.
Yeah.
You know?
They're not talking about this movie.
Right.
They're talking about things he's done in the past.
The dude. So, okay. So the premise behind this movie is a corroded diving bell descends amidst a ruined city, and the assassin emerges from it to explore a labyrinth of bizarre landscapes inhabited by freakish denizens. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of making fun of Phil Tippett, but on the other hand, like you said, the trailer was kind of a mess, but it left me wanting to know more about it, and it left me intrigued. I might watch this movie. I want a follow-up trailer with more storyline and characters.
this reminded me of the movie Nine.
Yes.
This is one of those movies that if I watched, it would be with a lot of trepidation, because whether or not I enjoyed the movie doesn't matter. Whether or not I thought about it at night when I was trying to sleep probably would be more at the top of my mind.
Yeah.
So.
The next trailer is called Good.
Oh. So this is a movie. I happened to be in the room when Penn watched it, and he goes, there's no chance of me ever seeing
this
movie.
Put a percentage on it.
0 chance.
0% chance that I see this movie.
Me, on the other hand, I thought this looked like a good movie premise, right? That was then made by people who didn't have the backing to hire the right actors and stuff to do it.
What's the premise?
So the premise is a man meets an older gentleman in a restaurant, and then through a series of events winds up becoming his caretaker, which is its own story of this older man trying to deal with his family and the fact that he's dying and this guy helping him. But then on the other side, you have the guy who became the helper trying to live up to the fact that his bride-to-be makes more money, and that he apparently had an affair with his ex and got her pregnant, and she wants to keep the baby and is holding that over his head. Mm. So you've got you can have the story that could be like really emotional, right? But it's just not performed well. Like, it started off and I was like, oh, this is going to be a powerful movie. And then about a minute in, I was like, this is not going to be acted well enough to like anybody to care.
Do you think they diluted the plot too much?
There's that too. There's too much going on. Yeah. It could have been he comes in. He's trying to help this guy, and he has a bunch of problems. And then also, he's trying to live up to his wife that makes more money. But then you add like the child and the ex-girlfriend, and like it just becomes.
What was the movie with Kevin Hart, where Bryan Cranston was the guy in the wheelchair with not much time left?
Well, it's like that, or even the movie that we recently watched with Tiffany Haddish, where she
called
took care of,
it's called The Upside.
Took care of Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
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 Like, there's movies like this that can be really touching and done right, but this is too much. And it's like someone had this great idea, and in order to get it done, they had to change too much of it or make sacrifices. And at the end of the day, cool that they made it, but it's not going to go anywhere.
And we joked, but I don't like the name of it.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. We made a comment about how this and old are both really difficult, like, ad search.
Yeah.
Names. So.
Okay. Moving on to another movie that David pronounced 0% chance. He put it a different way. 100% chance he doesn't see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This movie is called Off the Rails, and it looks like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants or what's the one with Meryl Streep with all the singing and dancing?
ABBA one.
Yeah, the ABBA one.
Yeah.
Except I would say not as good as either of those.
It looks like the way that it's advertised, they're like, hey, remember all these great actresses? And now they're older and they're playing this is the stage of life that we're in, and we're going to be funny. But there's a couple problems here.
Yeah. Problem number one.
Yeah. We don't know who any of the actresses are.
Right. Problem number two.
It doesn't look funny. I think there was one part that you laughed at, and I didn't laugh at that part when I watched it the first time.
Yeah. I forget what that was, but it was one like passing chuckle.
This wasn't on my bucket list or something
like that. Yeah. All right. So now we're down to two. Both, I think, were amazing trailers. One was David's trailer of the week. One was my trailer of the week. I'll let you go first.
Okay. So my trailer of the week is called King Richard. Comes out in November. Stars Will Smith. And it's the story of Venus and Serena Williams. More about their father and raising them and stuff. And I thought, this movie looks powerful. This movie looks like fun. It looks engaging. I think that Serena and Venus Williams are extremely charismatic athletes. Like, I've never seen anything with them where I thought negatively of them or thought they were fake or anything. Like, I've always felt like they're extremely real people in the public. I don't know if that's true. That's me as not a sports fan, just casually seeing them. So I'm interested very much in seeing this movie. I think it looks really good.
Yeah, I totally agree. I thought the trailer was amazing. The storyline, of course, is epic. Will Smith, take him to the bank all day long. And someday somebody's going to do a biopic on Serena and Venus. And that'll be fine. You know, or maybe they'll do one, you know, maybe they'll do them separately or whatever. But this is certainly a good place to start. I mean, they're two legendary athletes. When you write the history of sports, they will be part of that history. And their story is unbelievable. And their father's controversial. I mean, he's not, you know, whatever.
Did he push them too far?
Right.
Was he too, you know?
Right. Especially in light of like the Simone Biles story out of the Olympics. You know, there's going to be some questions about that. But this movie looks absolutely amazing. And who better to trust with the storyline than Will Smith? So the movie is King Richard and it comes out in November. So it looks pretty great.
So what's your trailer of the week?
The official Penn Cinema podcast trailer.
Oh, is that how it is?
That's how it is.
All right.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Apparently it'd be like that.
The official Penn Cinema podcast trailer of the week is House of Gucci, starring all your favorite actors and actresses.
That is true.
I mean, I'm not even going to get into it. You got to look up the cast list. I mean, this movie looks amazing. It's based on a true story, which gives it even more points in my book. The trailer's well done. The movie looks engaging. Everything about it makes me want to see it. So watch the trailer for House of Gucci.
It's a really good trailer. If it wasn't for King Richard, this would have been my top.
Yeah.
For sure.
I forget the... the lines now, but there was a bunch of lines in this that had me literally laughing out loud while I was watching the trailer. But that's not to say that it's like a throwaway comedy, like it's a serious movie.
Yeah.
But the characters are, they're in the true sense of the word, they're real characters. So I think that's a pretty easy pick right there for anyone who knows anything about movie trailers.
Excuse for you. Oh.
Trailer of the week, House of Gucci.
Excuse for you to dress up in Gucci when it comes out.
I don't need an excuse, baby.
Every day.
I'm all Gucci all the time.
I forgot.
What's up?
All right, Penn.
You know me. If I'm known for anything, it's for my fashion.
Oh, that's true. Have you seen Penn lately? Even more fashionable than normal.
Damn.
What is going on with that
How
guy?
Could that be? Oh, he's wearing t-shirts and shorts?
Oh, snap.
All right.
This week we watched a movie called The Green Knight.
Yeah.
And let's talk about this.
Yeah, let's.
What did you think of The Green Knight?
I loved it. Yeah. I loved it 100% with no reservations. It got me. Like, it tricked me a few times. You know, like, I didn't see the ending. I didn't pick up on that being, you know, a flashback is the wrong word, but, you know, flashing before his eyes. I loved everything about it. It's a fairy tale. I guess that's the right word, right? A fairy tale. Mm-hmm. It plays like one. You know, there's some fantasy stuff going on, some Fantasia type of stuff. I loved the scenes of him talking to, was it Winifred, where he goes to the house in the woods and she's there, but she's not there. Yeah. And, you know, I'm missing my head. And, you know, he's like, are you real? And then he reaches out and she's like, what are you doing? Well, you know,
don't ever touch me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or he's like, well, what do I get out of this? What's in this for me? She's like, why would you ask that? Right. Why would you ever ask
that? What kind of person would ask that?
Yeah. I love this movie as well. I think it's great. I think it's very, very weird. I was shocked that the theater was almost sold out when I saw it. Because last week we joked about like there'd be four people that saw this movie. And even Drew was like, remember, Penn, don't book things just because they look good.
Right.
But I think this one surprised us all.
This movie did so much business that it qualifies as I put it in the wrong theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I did not think it needed to be in a big theater. It clearly would have done even more business in Lititz if I'd put it in theater 10 instead of theater 1.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was shocked when I was like, wait, what? I had to pick my seat. But I thought it was great. So you weren't familiar with the story at all.
Right.
Right. And I only am slightly familiar with the story and more of the like morals of it. So I didn't feel like they hit the moral part of it right. But I did love it. So like,
what's the moral of the story? Because I felt like they nailed it.
So the whole thing is that it's...
I thought it was like crystal clear.
It's several... So they didn't fully... explained that the whole thing was set up specifically for him as a test to whether or not he was worthy of knighthood.
Right.
Right. And to test his honor. There's like honor, bravery. I think there's three or four tests.
Right.
And each stop is a different like
right.
test on that. So they didn't really like get to it. I mean, if you know what you're looking for, you can kind of see it, but they also didn't explain why he started to get his stuff back that was stolen as kind of like rewards for each step of for proving each thing, because it didn't quite make sense, or how some of the characters were the witches that his mom and him
right.
were had worked with or whatever, or his mother had worked with to cast the spell. And then my knowledge of the story is it ends with the knight swinging the axe and then like missing and like just nicking him and letting him go. And he's and the Green Knight saying, "I gave it my best," because the whole thing was like that he would put as much effort into it as, and
right,
you know, he faked it out that he was going to kill him, and then he goes back and becomes a knight. But in this, it's more alluded to the fact that he stopped. It's not really like spelt out in the fact that the Green Knight act kind of imitates his mother. In a moment, because his mother is controlling the Green Knight.
Right.
So, but I overall, I thought this movie was fantastic. It is a little bit long in spots, but I think so, visually it's amazing.
So are you saying that he lives in the end?
Yes.
And because he passed all those tests, he can go home and be a knight.
Right. Because the whole thing, it turns out that the Green Knight and his mother, who is a sorceress.
Yeah.
They were in right. cahoots to make this challenge to find
right.
someone worthy of not only becoming a knight, but then becoming king.
Right. So I did not pick up on that.
Right. See, I didn't think it was spelled out very well.
Yeah. So you're right, because I did not. I thought what I took away from it was much simpler, which was you're either a man of honor or you're not. And it's better to die a man of honor than to dishonorably run away.
Right.
You know, from the moment of truth and hide and marry the wrong woman and, you know, make all the shallow mistakes, and then your life ends up kind of shitty, you know, and it's not worth it. And so that's when he looks at the Green Knight and he's like, "I'm ready. Now I'm ready."
Yeah.
And then he says, "Well, then off with your head."
He doesn't say off with your head. He says, "Well, then you really are ready."
No, he says, "Well, then off with your head." That's the last line of the movie.
Off with your head?
Yeah.
So maybe this is, because it's an interpretation of a story, so maybe that's just this interpretation of
the
story.
Well, I love that you pointed that out, because now it leaves open a whole wide, you know, we both interpreted different endings.
Right.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, but he does, the Green Knight imitates what his mother did to his, held his face, and then it's got like the undertone of his mother's voice
right.
when it says the last ending lines.
This is like a Coen Brothers movie.
You don't know what's going to happen, I guess.
Yeah, like the vague ending.
I really enjoyed this movie. I can understand if it's not for everyone. The person I was sitting next to didn't seem like it was very much for them. They were kind of mocking parts of it. Didn't seem to understand. And I was like, I get it. I understand why you're not. Like the scene with like the lady with the blindfold constantly around. Like,
yeah.
He was like, "What was that? Come on. Like, what? Like, doesn't he know she's right there?" And
yeah.
I'm like, you know. Is she, or is it symbolism about you know, being watched but not watched?
Right.
And anyway, if you're into this kind of thing, I definitely think you should watch it.
Yeah, you need to watch the trailer, and like it's not. I would agree, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But if you're into good movies, and I think a lot of people who listen to the show are,
yeah.
then we recommend this movie.
And I would say even watch weeks ago we reviewed the. Extended trailer that had like a big explanation of the whole
right.
thing. Watch that, I would say, and then see what you think.
Right.
So, all right. So we're on board with the Green Knight. Let's move on to listeners' notes, questions, answers, and comments. Some good ones in here this week.
I don't know, man. This is a wild week. I don't know what happened out in the cosmos.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some funny ones in here. So, who do you want to start with? Just
go right there.
Okay. So, Ron Klopp. Did we ever give Ron a nickname?
No.
Has he ever written in before?
I feel like he has.
I feel like he has too. Yeah. Let's call him Robo Rob. Robo Ron.
I think we call him The Rock.
And we call him The Rock?
Yeah, Ron The Rock.
Ron The Rock. All right. Well, he wrote in about Dwayne Johnson. aka The Rock. He says, about the subject of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I do not think that he will get away from his nickname, with it being about 25 years since he debuted in the WWE. Along with that, he has that show on NBC called Young Rock. Also, he's not done with wrestling yet, as there's rumors he will return at this year's Survivor Series PPV, don't know what that means, to challenge the current WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns. He says, I also think that Black Adam will be a good movie. It'll be exciting to see him play evil Shazam.
Okay, well, I agree with Ron The Rock. Yeah, I think, but somebody else on our Facebook page pointed out an even more obvious.
Oh.
The guy, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's Instagram is The Rock.
There you go.
You know, and I think that, so excuse me for trying to help, you know, Dwayne Johnson, you know, evolve into a more serious actor. And so first of all, excuse me. And second, I don't aim that at Ron. I aim that at like The Rock, you know, like there was a period of time where he was trying to, you know, all his press materials referred to Dwayne Johnson.
Right.
And we were trying to be good, supportive professionals and support his evolution towards away from being a wrestling star towards being a serious actor. And obviously he has since changed his mind and been like, hey, there's nothing wrong with being a wrestling star turned actor. And rather than trying to get everyone to stop calling me The Rock, I'm just going to embrace it.
Right.
You know, and so good for you. All right. So now what? We can call him The Rock again?
I guess.
Whatever.
Yeah. He's a superstar.
He is a superstar. And I thought he was awesome in Jungle Cruise. We'll get to that later.
Get to that. Yeah.
All right. So thanks, Ron, for writing in. That was really cool. And then we had an email from Roland. But unfortunately, when we were putting the show notes together, I accidentally deleted it. Yeah. Which is just unfortunate. So we'll have to move on. Chris Hall Productions. Chris Hall Productions writes in something about, I'm writing in today because, well, I need your help. I've been listening to the podcast since episode one, and I feel I know how each of you feels about a certain subject. I thought I knew how I felt about it too, but things are beginning to change. So I'll just go ahead and say it. I'm thinking of signing up for Apple TV Plus. This is just a recap. Chris Hall Productions announcing his support of Apple TV Plus.
Officially.
Officially on the show. I tell myself, this is going back to his email, Chris writes, I tell myself I don't need another streaming service, but I see all these shows and movies advertised for Apple TV Plus, and I can't help but thinking, am I missing out? They've got Ted Lasso, Schmigadoon looks pretty great, something I can watch with my wife, not to mention the children's programming for my son. Am I nuts to be considering this? Do I need another streaming service in my life? Help a listener out. David, I'm going to refer this one to you.
Do you want me to read my official response?
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, if you're going to sign up for Apple TV Plus, you might as well break your TV so it's as broken as your taste.
Remind me. Remind me, good sir. Remind me, good sir. What is your problem with Apple TV Plus?
Nothing. It was an easy jab. I wanted to take it.
Okay, the easy jab I'm fine with.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But you've been anti-Apple Plus for years. What's your problem?
Well, it was no purpose to it, but I will admit... Some of the shows look good. I just didn't think that they would produce anything like substantial that was good over time, like movie here, movie there, whatever. Yeah. Like it all just looked like flash in the pan things. And apparently Ted Lasso is hilarious. And there's some other stuff. And they got stuff on the horizon coming. So, all right, fine.
Yeah.
Maybe it has some things for some people. I have yet to think that it would be good for me, but I understand. What has surprised me is that Hulu had a show advertised, and I've never subscribed to Hulu, and that's made me almost to the point where, like, I kind of want to see that. And that's,
I need the streaming wars to start ending. Yeah. You know, when countries battle when, or a better example would be like mafia families have like wars.
Yeah.
And the way those wars get resolved is they end up like smaller families get absorbed by larger families until there's like two or three families left. And then they divide up the city and that's the end of the show.
What they need to do is they need something like voodoo. You familiar with voodoo?
Yeah.
They need something like voodoo to come around, which voodoo takes all of your digital purchases and lets you stream them from one app, like Amazon, whatever. Mm-hmm. They need a platform like that that says, log into all your different streaming things, and here's one place where you can see everything that you can watch from all the different ones, and all you need to do is click on it, and it'll stream from there. And you don't have to go to one app to the other.
I can resolve this really easily.
Yeah.
Netflix needs to buy Hulu.
Okay.
Amazon Prime needs to buy HBO Max. And Disney Plus needs to buy Apple TV Plus.
And then you only have three?
And then you only have three. And now we're good. And then like Universal, Peacock, they can all go F themselves, you know, and spin off into oblivion and put their content through one of the remaining three. But they need to put this war to rest.
Yeah.
Like they can, like I'm sick of it. I'm getting sick of it.
That's David. Official words.
David.
Official words.
Do we my response, by the way, getting back to the listener's note in question, my response to Chris Hall Productions was, absolutely, you should do it. Ted Lasso alone is worth the price of admission.
It's worth it. I like every time Chris Hall Productions writes in, he changes his position at Chris Hall Productions.
I love it.
What is it, director of indecision this time or something?
Now we have a letter from a self-nicknamed.
Don DeMond.
You didn't put Frodo's email in here.
Did I miss Frodo?
She wrote us and said that her friends sometimes call her words.
Oh.
Remember, because I was like, she's like a walking thesaurus.
I'm sorry, Frodo.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We're still talking about it right now.
Yeah. Anyway, Don DeMond.
Yeah.
Do we allow that now? You just can make up your own nicknames?
Just going to let that fly by without anybody.
Well, we'll bring that up at the next board meeting.
Okay. We'll
ask Gary and he'll form a subcommittee.
Yeah.
And we'll let the committee review and they can recommend back to the board.
They're probably going to have to call Don DeMond in.
Right.
And give him a full rundown about who do you think you are?
Right.
What gives you the right?
What made you think, bucko,
that this was even something you could do?
Right. What have we done in the last 132 weeks that made you think it would be okay?
Just nickname yourself.
Good grief.
So he came at us with two movie reviews.
Yeah.
Right. He said Jungle Cruise is a fun popcorn flick. Doesn't expect it to win awards unless for VFX, but he liked it. Now, he didn't seem to like The Green Knight like we did.
Right.
The music made the movie by setting the scene, but visually it looked good with its nice long shots. On the other hand, he says, I don't really care for the film style and thought every shot could have been half as long and gotten through the story quicker. I was bored and playing on my phone half of the film.
I mean, whatever. I disagree. I didn't have the same experience. I relished. Like, I know what you mean. Like, I have definitely sat in movies and been like, oh, my God. You know, move. Yeah. You know, get to the point here. But I feel like this movie, The Green Knight, set the tone, like, right from the beginning. And maybe it's because I was not only expecting that, but also, like, excited for, like, I was right. I went in the right frame of mind. Mm-hmm. I went in with the right headspace. And those long shots that could have easily been cut in half, I kind of relished them. Mm-hmm. I kind of, you know, got like absorbed in the night. You know, the movie was very dark, you know, and I felt like I got absorbed and sort of lost in the darkness. And I really enjoyed that part of it. Hmm. I embraced that part.
I did too.
Yeah.
I wonder sometimes, it's like the moment you decide to look on your phone during the movie, it's like the rest of the movie's not going to live up to anything because you've already made the decision that you're okay with looking away.
Yeah.
So
I like people to turn their phones off.
Ooh. Okay.
Like the whole way off. Turn it the whole way off when you're walking in, and then you can get 2 hours of your life to appreciate the movie for good or for bad. Maybe the movie's not great. Maybe you don't like it, but it got your attention for 2 hours. And I'm not being judgmental in the least bit because I'm on my phone all the time and I'm not pointing fingers or like, oh, I'm not one of those, you shouldn't be on your phone so much because I'm not that guy. it's not a judgmental thing. I'm saying the best way to enjoy a movie, the best way to increase the chances of you enjoying your experience is to turn your phone the whole way off.
Huh. Yeah. I agree. Although I also...
Yeah, no. I know. Yeah. I'm not casting stones because I certainly do the same thing. But when it's a movie that I'm really interested in and I'm truly excited for, that is what I do. Hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into what are you reading, what are you doing, what are you watching?
Well, I guess I'll go first because you have a much better lineup here to discuss. But I mean, I just have a lot of like little things. Like my family and I are still watching Manifest, which we're into. Kayla and I are still really enjoying The New Girl, which is, I'm not like sitting here like recommending it to anybody because it's not the best show ever. But you know, you ever get like on a run with a show with someone?
Yeah.
And the fact that you guys are like both into it and it's like your thing now for a little while makes the show better, mm-hmm. you know, and that's exactly where we're at. Yeah. Like, I'm not telling you like, oh, David, you got to watch this show, but I'm telling you, Kayla and I are watching it and we're loving it and having a great time. The show that I am back hooked on is Ozark.
Oh yeah?
With Jason Bateman. Mm-hmm. I love that guy. And this is a role where he's a little grittier, a little tougher, you know, than some of his previous characters. And I remember Marley and I, we think, if we remember correctly, watched like the first two or three episodes during COVID. But I went back, started at the beginning again, and I'm almost done with season one. And it's just such a good show. It's so good.
Wow.
And I also started back on Fleabag, which we've talked about on the show before. And like, to me, Fleabag is like, it's all right.
I thought you were all about that the first time you watched it. You were
like, I was. And now I'm watching it a second time and I'm not feeling like as committed.
Is it because it's been spoiled?
Maybe.
Okay. Interesting. Well, me, I've been watching my life spiral out of control. So, you know, that's cool.
David wrote in the show notes, my life spiral into chaos.
Yeah. No, I had a car accident this week and other stuff. It just seems like every time... my graphics card died on my computer, and you know, then I go to this weekend. I'm like, okay, it's weekend time. Now I'm day three with no internet. Just circumstances.
Brutal.
Just like earlier this month, I went 3 days without electricity.
I was just gonna say, like, this is not your first week where you've had, like, you're on the schneid.
Yeah,
you've been on the schneid for like, I want to say like 45 days.
Yeah, I'm surprisingly upbeat. Considering,
like, even considering how myself, shitty things have been.
I'm like, why am I not more upset at the world? But it's like, yeah, I get it. I'll survive. I'll get through. You know, I was supposed to get a new kitty this weekend, but I got put off to next weekend.
Wait, why do you need a new cat?
I don't need a new cat. But the opportunity arose to have another kitty.
Right. So do you have... So my friend has a young dog. Like, I think it's no longer a puppy,
okay. But
it certainly was a puppy for a while. And the dog requires an incredible amount of attention.
Oh.
And this is a person who started their own business a few years back, and it's still a little bit of a young business, and they're consumed with that business. You know, it demands an incredible amount of their time. And this is also a person who's getting married in September, right? So...
this dog. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So my friend says to me, me and Katie are thinking about getting a puppy. I'm like, why the hell would you get a puppy? Another puppy? Yeah. Getting another. That's a horrible idea. Like, why would you do that? Don't do that.
Cause keep the other puppy company.
Don't do that. Right. So they get this puppy and I'm like, I don't even want to hear. I don't even.
Don't even talk to me.
I don't even
want
to hear about the complaints. Yeah. Right. It's an unmitigated disaster.
Wow.
They fortunately find immediately a home for the puppy and the puppy is out of their lives. So you feel like it's kind of like a dodged bullet,
right?
Like, oof, that we came really close to making a mistake, right? Do you know where the story's going?
Yeah.
Okay. So like a week or two later, I hear from a third person, like not from my friend, but from a mutual friend. Like, oh, did you hear they're getting a new...
they're getting another puppy.
They're getting another puppy. So I say to my buddy, I say, hey, why didn't you tell me, why do I get a... I mean, we're close friends. We're good, close friends, right? And why do I have to hear about this third hand? Guys, because I knew you would say it was a bad idea. So
getting another kitty is a good idea for you?
It's on the fence.
Okay. Border. It's on the border.
Like, I think as long as they get along, it'll be good. Because I think that Cora needs a little bit more.
Cora's getting old.
Well, yeah, she's middle-aged. And she needs a little bit more entertainment.
You know what,
than
David?
What I'm bringing to the table.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you heard David say was she needs more entertainment than what I'm bringing to the table. So good.
The truth revealed.
The truth revealed. Now, David, what I was going to say is that I want to go on record. I fully support this idea.
Okay.
I think this is a great plan for you. And here's why. Because as we mentioned, but moments ago, you've been on the Schneid.
Yeah.
I think there's no better way to snap your streak. Obviously, you got some kind of like cloud hanging over your life. And here we get the kitty.
Yeah.
And it brings a whole new level of freshness. I mean, you got the new furniture. Like things are really starting to turn around for you now.
I am ready for this kitty. I got, I got the everything set up with the new cat furniture and stuff. And I think that it'll help my cat not feel so lonely and something to like cuddle with.
Right.
And, you know, hopefully they get along. So that's that's the big thing.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, what are we watching next week, Ben?
Oh, God. Next week, Suicide Squad, huh?
Gotta watch Suicide Squad.
James Gunn's The Suicide Squad.
Squad. I've been hearing some good things, initial reviews.
Okay.
So
I'm excited to watch it.
There we go.
Margot Robbie, here I come.
Watch out.
Look out.
All I can say is she's not pleased with what I bring it to the table or whatever it is I said.
She's not entertained with what I'm currently bringing to the table.
All right. Well, look, if you want to be a part of the show,
The
best way to do that is to go ahead and shoot us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. You can tell us about movies you've seen, movies you're going to see, any type of watchware. Yeah. You can call Penn out for things, whatever.
Most people don't do that.
Roland does, though.
Right, no, who?
Yeah, I know.
I don't remember anything.
Might have gotten deleted from the notes. Right. I don't know. So,
I wonder if anyone besides Roland noticed that.
No. Here's what happened. Do you want to know the full story? Because we were talking about the show, and we were talking about, like, me like fumbling over my words, and I was like, "What? He deleted something, and the whole thing went up." And it's like the whole thing went up a paragraph, and then I lost my place. And they're like, "Oh, does that bother you when he does that?" I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "I'm gonna write him about that." And I was like, "Please do." And he's like, "It's not gonna end the podcast, is it?" I was like, "There's only one way to find out."
One way to find out.
So look,
well, we had a good run.
Yeah. If you want to see if you can stop us, podcast@penncinema.com.
But look, if you think you can drive a wedge between us, by all means, give it a shot.
But if you want to support the show, what's the number one way for people to do that?
Yeah, I mean, you can tell a friend.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I haven't really tested this out to see how well it would go over yet. Mm-hmm. But I think what I'm talking about is people go to those pottery making places where you like paint your own pottery.
And you
want to make your pottery. And then when you paint it, you just paint Listen to the Penn Cinema podcast on your stoneware.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be really cool. And I think that if you wanted to like do that, and then, like, send us a picture of that.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
There's no telling what would happen.
I know. At bottom of the bowl, you just souping your soup out.
Yep. Then,
what? Listen to what now?
What?
Oh, I gotta eat faster. Listen to the Penn Cinema podcast?
You know, that James Gunn holiday special thing, didn't that remind you of A Christmas Story when they're saying, eat your Ovaltine, drink your Ovaltine?
Well, it definitely made me think of that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, cool. Well, I mean, I hope more people do that. As a fallback, if you want to cook us dinner too, that's also a great
way. I mean, either way.
Yeah, either way.
Use
the stuff you make at the pottery.
As a fallback.
Yeah. So
if you can't think of anything else, send money.
Send money. Wow.
I'm not even saying to support the show. I'm just saying,
general,
like, hey, you know,
you send money somewhere. Hey,
a couple bucks. Yeah. You know, I'm saying.
Somebody probably needs it, right? Yeah. All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
Nailed it.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.